is the Jerry DePoto Show, presented by GEICO, every Thursday at 3:30 with Danny, Dave, and Moore.
Looking forward to it every week.
The latest transactions, the breakdown on the Mariners' latest moves, the reason behind the decisions that shape the organization.
I love the time together. It gives me a chance to hold myself accountable.
Now, here's Danny, Dave, and Moore.
We are going to talk to Jerry DePoto here on the Zeke's Pizza Hotline and maybe ask him the pressing question of, can you really sweep a two-game series? Do you scoop them? Is it a heavy dusting? And Jerry is with us now. Jerry, we had this debate yesterday. Do you actually sweep a two-game series? Do you just take two? Does it have to be three games, at least three games for a sweep?
I think a series is as long as the series is. I don't know. I think a two-game series is probably a pair. You know, I don't know if it really qualifies as a series, but, you know, I probably equate it to something similar to when I watch installments on a TV program. If it's a two-parter, it's just kind of a two-parter. And if it's three installments, then it's probably a mini-series.
There you go. That's it. We swept the mini-series. It was a mini-series.
No, they took like a pair. They took the two. They took the pair away from them. Jerry, it's been sure fun to watch Daniel Vogel back as he kind of had a little bit of a, I guess, somewhat of a slump. He was striking out more than we're used to seeing. He hits a couple of great home runs. What have you seen from him overall in this season?
He's been phenomenal. Here we are in the middle of May, and he's still carrying 1,000 OPS, which is significant. And he definitely went through a slump, which frankly, you know, five or six of our guys have gone through, you know, pretty extended slumps over the last two or three weeks. And that's a baseball season. And that's particularly a baseball season when you go through places like Cleveland, New York, and Boston, when those teams are playing well, because they all have good pitching. So it's to be expected, but Bogey's done a remarkable job of staying productive. And, you know, the thing that Daniel is always willing to do that keeps his productivity or the lineup moving is he takes his walks. He's patient. He has power. He has a feel to hit. And it's been really good these last couple of days seeing him get back in that good groove with his swing.
Yeah, I just have one complaint about the Vogel wagon, Jerry. His home runs are too shallow. I want to see towering shots, not these line drives.
As long as they clear that fence, I'll take them any way they come.
Oh, seriously, Jerry, I remember you saying this last year or 2 years ago. You said Daniel Vogelbach has raked at every level. How confident were you at that point? Because, I mean, look, you never know. I mean, you look, past performance doesn't necessarily dictate the future, but how confident were you of him as compared to other players?
Just because of the way he does it, you know, Daniel's process, I would say when you manage the strike zone the way Vogie always has, and he's done it, really, he did it from high school on. He knew what was a ball and what was a strike. And, you know, it doesn't mean he's not going to strike out. And it doesn't mean he's occasionally not going to chase a bad pitch. He'll do those things. But for the most part, Vogie's always had very good strike zone judgment and pitch selection. And if you can do those things and couple it with an efficient swing and big power, you're going to hit. And then when the numbers tell you, I guess by performance, once you get to double and triple A and you maintain that type of performance with that type of process, those guys are usually the guys who turn into run producers in the big leagues. And so everything that Vogie was telling you along his developmental journey was that I'm going to hit. And now there are certainly times in there where he had some rough goes at the big league level. But like we talked about very early this year, back when we were on our first road trip, to be fair to Vogie, he never got an extended audition or a long run at the big league level to see if he could do it. And here he is, and he's doing it, and I'm really confident that he can continue.
Well, speaking of confidence, how confident are you that he'll be able to hit left-handed pitchers over time? And then what about playing first base?
On the left-handed pitchers, only time will tell. And, you know, what you have to, as you're developing young major league hitters and, you know, even at the minor league levels, Vogie had traditional platoon splits. He didn't hit the lefties as well as he hit the righties, and that's not abnormal. you know, what you can't do in the big leagues because of the quality of the opponent is just constantly throw them out there and let them drown against the best lefties in the league. It's you find your spot to develop that confidence and let it grow. Like I think Scott and Lake and the guys here have done, it's time will tell how he does with the lefties. You know, the good thing is that two-thirds of the pitchers in the league are right-handed. So that gives us a pretty significant advantage in how we can use them. As far as first base goes, right now we have guys that do a better job defensively than Bogey, but he has improved a ton over the course of his time here with the Mariners, and you've seen it to this point when we need to find a way to get as many of the bats in the lineup as we can. We do feel confident in sending Bogey out there to play defensively, but you know, it's never going to be something that comes easy to him. He has to work hard at it, but he's worked hard and he's made himself playable at first base. And, you know, he runs the bases well for a big guy. He's always going to have some limitations due to his size, but Vogie's got about as complete a game as he's had in the 4 years he's been with us. And, you know, it's a tribute to how hard he works at it.
We're talking to Jerry DePoto here, our weekly visit with him. Jerry, the end of April, we saw Felix Hernandez with a couple of larger-than-usual strikeout totals for him recently. He struck out 8 in back-to-back games, and it looked like we were seeing some progress of a new approach. And then it seems like he suffered perhaps an injury and now on the injured list 4 to 6 weeks with a lat strain. How would you assess how things have gone for him recently?
Well, I mean, we spoke about it when we were in New York. You know, into that last road trip, it's the best run that we've seen from Felix dating back to at least early 2016, if not 2015. He was really good and throwing strikes, hammering the zone. He was missing bats. He was getting chases out of the zone. And then, frankly, he ran into a couple of tough lineups and a couple of ballparks that maybe weren't as forgiving as they are in the West here in Seattle and in other places west, Oakland, Anaheim. That's a rougher go. But I think in the end, what Felix did into that Eastern road swing was real, and there's no reason he can't replicate that. Obviously, it's going to be a while now with the injury, and we'll see how he comes out of this. But he's going to miss a month and a half, and that's going to be that's a loss for us, and especially as well as he was throwing prior to that trip. And hopefully after these 4 or 6 weeks, we get some version that's similar to what we saw in April and early May.
Hey, Jerry, a lot of fans are torn on what you guys should do with Felix Hernandez. Are you and Scott Service torn?
No. We're going to help him rehab, and then in 4 to 6 weeks, we'll send him back out there. Pretty easy answer.
Jerry, Malik Smith was recalled today and Shed Long option down. Malik, I think, hit .333 when he was down in Tacoma. Did you see some changes in approach? Did he take that time to kind of catch his breath? What are you hoping for as he comes back?
Malik did everything we asked him to do, and I think it started the day he got there when his response to a question from the media regarding, you know, his mindset as he walked out there in AAA, which he's not been there in a while. His answer was, "I'm a minor league player, and I got to figure out how to get back." He spent a lot of time with Roy Howell. He spent time here first with Tim Laker. He went and saw his hitting coach back in Florida before he got rolling and spent a good deal of time with Ichiro and Mike Cameron, you know, on both sides of the ball, both offensively and defensively. And, you know, the result is that he popped out and had a really good run. I think 45, 48 plate appearances off the top of my head doing Malik Smith things, you know, hitting the ball in the barrel and controlling the strike zone the way he can. I think he stole 7 bases in 9 games. And it was, a particularly good reset for him. I think it's healthy, and I'm glad he approached it the way he did. And hopefully he's back on track because he's just too good a player to struggle the way he was prior to when we sent him to Tacoma.
You mentioned a name there, Jerry, in Mike Cameron, someone the Mariner fans are very familiar with. And Jessamyn McIntyre actually wrote a story on him on 710sports.com because he's now playing a role in the organization. What's the plan? What's the hope? What can Mike provide to the franchise?
You know, Cam's great. He's super positive, a very energetic guy. He had a great career and particularly adept defensively. I mean, Mike Cameron's one of the better defensive center fielders you're ever going to come across. And the way he can make it simple and how he interacts with players, he's a very personable guy and he's easy to spend time with, which gives him a great advantage as a coach. So, you know, our hope is that this, I guess, foray into coaching, he's going to spend maybe 10 or 12 days a month through the course of this season working with our outfielders and particularly focusing on the defense. But he'll also spend time with base runners and our hitting people in the batter's box. But at the end of the day, what we're hoping is that Cam really wraps his arms around a coaching career and wants to make it more of a full-time thing. And so far, so good. The feedback from the players and staff that he spent time with has been overwhelmingly positive. And I think Cam's really enjoying it. He's getting out there. He'll start again. He's going to West Virginia next and work with some of our young outfielders there and just continue to pop around the system. And he'll spend some time here in the big leagues with us starting toward the tail end of June. And we'll see him for a grand total of 12 or 15 games between now and September.
Jerry, let me ask you about Dylan Moore. And the reason why I bring him up is saw him turn an awesome double play. And then he had a slide against Cleveland where, I mean, he went past the tag and it was a perfect throw. And it was just an instinct thing. You know, and it's not like you'd practice something like that. And I'm just very impressed by that guy, just his natural ability and, like I said, his instincts. Tell us how Dylan Moore is progressing.
You know, Dylan, it's funny, I'm standing here at the ballpark and just watched him go through a workout on the field as he prepares to come back and start playing again after the being hit on the wrist in New York. Dylan's got great baseball IQ. He's a very good athlete. He can run. He actually fills up all five of the toolboxes that we use in scouting. There's a reason why at 26 years old, we went out and we handed him a major league contract and added him to our 40-man roster as a free agent. We felt like this was an undervalued guy who the industry was just missing on. And like a lot of the others we've talked about, just needed opportunity. And I'm going to give Dylan a ton of credit because that first homestand when he had the three consecutive errors in the game against Boston, I'm pretty sure that the Mariners fan base was ready to run him out of town. And, you know, he gathered himself. He stayed confident in what he was doing. And fortunately for him, the next day they hit a ball to him and he got over that. He's a very good defensive player, especially in the middle of the infield. He can play anywhere on the field. He's got a really good idea of what to do in the batter's box. He's got more pop than you give him credit for as a scout, and you see it play itself out over the course of a season. And I'm really happy for him, particularly on that stretch where we went through the East while most of the rest of our lineup was really struggling. Dylan Moore threw up 1,000 OPS and did it in a not so subtle way. Homers, doubles, stealing bases, playing good defense against good teams. And I think Dylan's going to play here for a long time. And we feel like the role he's in right now as a versatile move around the field player is a really huge advantage for our team and really in the game, the way it's played today. So I'm glad he's a Mariner.
Jerry, I think everybody loves seeing Domingo Santana when he's in the batter's box, but maybe not so much in left field. It seems like it's an adventure out there for him. Is it just a matter of him getting more used to playing in left field instead of right field, or what's the long-term prognosis with him?
Yeah, I think it'll get better the more reps he gets. Fortunately for him, you know, we acquired Domingo late in the winter, and his experience level in left field is the least of the three, and he's played a lot of right field in his time. He's played some center field in his time, but not as much in left field. Most of the players that have played all of the outfield spots will tell you that left field is the most difficult because of the angle the ball comes off the bat, particularly the line drives. Unless you're used to standing there, it's why third base is so much more difficult for a second baseman to convert than a third baseman to go to second. You don't get as much chance to see the ball coming. It just comes. And, you know, Domingo has had a tough time in left field. There's no question. I think it has improved over the last 10 days or so. And he's spending a lot of time with Chris Prieto, a lot of time with the staff. it is not an issue of lack of want to get better at it or athletic ability to do it. I think it's just going to take some reps. And, you know, along the way, we're going to see some bumps like we have, and hopefully he continues to drive in runs and I guess give back some of what was lost. You can't get beyond the errors. They've happened, but I know it's not for lack of work, and I do believe he has the athletic ability and skills to get better in that area.
Hey, Jerry, I was just home today, and I was thinking, I was just curious about how your health is going. I know you had kind of a scare back in December in Las Vegas, and you always seem like you keep yourself in such good shape, and how are things going in that area?
I feel great. Thanks for asking. Still have no idea why I had the health problems I did in December, and God knows I spent enough time at hospitals and with doctors over the course of the last couple of months to try to solve it, but I feel physically fine. I'm in good spirit. My energy level's high, and hopefully it'll result in a good draft meeting coming up.
Yeah, we are thinking about you, Jerry. And last thing from me, Kyle Seager's on a rehab assignment, which is the first of his career. He's never been on the DL before. He's expected to play about five innings. Are you still looking at maybe a late May arrival for him, return to the big leagues?
Yeah, right now the expected return would be May 25th, and there's no reason for us, right? We've not yet seen Kyle play defense, but we've, at least in a live game, we've seen enough here with his repetitions at T-Mobile and the pregames that we're pretty confident that it's not going to be an issue. So pretty good chance that if without any setbacks or delays, we're anticipating him returning to our lineup on May 25th, and that will – that will help our defense. That will help the depth in our lineup, and it'll fill a void that we've been missing since opening day.
He is Jerry DePoto. Jerry, we always enjoy our visit with you. Start of a four-game series against the Twins, and we're going to be out there tomorrow before it. We appreciate your time today.
Always enjoy it, guys. Talk to you next week.